Hello, my name is Ezekiel Esquivel, and the date is October 14th, 2025. Moreover, I am a student here at TCC. As part of my Comp 2 course, I will conduct an oral history interview with a fellow TCC student who is enrolled in an ESL class. This interview aims to preserve a meaningful personal experience as part of the Oklahoma Oral History Research Program. The recording will be archived in the OSU Library Special Collections and University Archives for scholarly and educational purposes. I am joined today by Junior De Suarez from Brazil. Junior, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Thank you. I'm very good. So let's talk a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm from Brazil. I grew up in a small farm in Brazil and in the north part of the country. The city is called Natal. It's kind of Merry Christmas in English if you translate it, the name of my city. And I left my family in 2016 and moved to the United States. And the first place I came was in Utah, Salt Lake City, and then I moved with my family, my wife and two kids, to Tulsa in 2012. And yeah, basically.
Nice. So, what would you say your childhood looked like? You said that you grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I know my grandma grew up on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it was pretty isolated a little bit from everything else. And what would you say is your favorite childhood memory there?
Yeah, it was very, not very, but it's a kind of, we live in a, I think the closest neighbor was maybe half a mile away. So it was pretty long. So we had to drive at least 30 minutes drive in a dirt world to get food. Like I have to drive 30 minutes to get food, like groceries, all the kind of stuff. It was kind of isolated. And then I changed for a big city after 9 years later when I was born. We changed for a big city that's more convenient.
Nice. So you said that you moved here with your wife, and did you say two children? Okay. Cool. And where on your farm, or I should say, how many people were on your
farm? Well, was my mom, my dad, and my two siblings. Yeah. We are in five.
Yeah. Cool. So what would you say,
mm-hmm.
what would you say your education looked like in Brazil? Because the education in Brazil mm-hmm. and the education in the U.S. is very different.
Yeah, it is.
You have experienced.
Yeah, and at the time, I was very, very, I mean, it's hard to tell because it has been so long. But yeah, I agree that it has a huge difference because in the north part in the country, now seems like they are trying to push the students to finish their class. Even they are have bad scores or good scores, they just want them to finish. So there are a lot of programs that help the students to get the high school diploma, even they are not a good students, but they try to. You guys have to finish, so it doesn't matter what, but you're gonna try take it easy on you or do something like that. So the education is more like, it's not that challenging as in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's mm-hmm. more flexible, can I say that?
They coddle.
Yeah.
The children.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So what was coming to America, when your first time,
mm-hmm.
you came to America, what was that like? Because you hear so many different things, and what was coming to America like?
Well, when I came here, I started to worry about the how gonna make my life. There is another word is my like start working and then get a job that I can pay my bills or whatever. Like, what does it say? Well, yeah, I forget the word, but yeah,
financial footing.
Financial, yeah, it can be a financial. So this was my first thing to worry about. But it, yeah, and when the first came, everything was different. Even the weather is very different, and people too. I think is a little bit more polite with, in Brazil, even though we are very social people. I think he was more like not polite, but have more like, hey, thank you, open the door for other people. This is a...
It's an indirect
play. Yeah, yeah. Well, I can see, I saw a lot of difference between our country. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't do that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. But I think the biggest challenge for me was the communication. Because when I came here, I didn't know nothing in English. The only thing I knew was like, hi, how are you? Like, that's all.
Yeah. And you said, did you say that you went directly from Brazil to Utah? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I can say that because my flight was to Las Vegas, but I had to drive to Utah.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Cool. And what was, because Utah can... You know, yeah. Be a little different. So how was it stepping out into Utah? And that's your first impression of the U.S.?
The first impression was like, it's too cold because when I got it was March. So Brazil is very hot and, you know, the weather was very like chilly and very, very, in the same time in the mornings was very cold. Also, because of the church, the Mormon church, Salt Lake is like a bubble and by the church, so everybody and most of the people lives in the city is Mormon, so it's kind of people are more like polite, more you know, like I had to be nice with the other people, like, you know, the traffic was very organized, and the traffic in Brazil is crazy, motorcycle pass by you all the time or in the middle of the on the street or whatever. Yeah, was the drive, the way that you guys drive, the people drive in was different. The weather was different. The people were more polite and more like
sociable.
Also, one thing that we do a lot is get outside the house and talk to the neighbors. In the United States, it's not like that. Yes. Everybody's inside the house. So, yeah, the job is not that hard. Like, I thought, and here you have more requirements to do the job.
Yeah.
In Brazil, we have to put our hands to do the job.
Basically. Yeah.
And
yeah,
here you have more requirements to do it, like help you as support you to do your job.
So what would you say was the hardest adjustment for you when you came?
Yeah, I think was the language barrier. I think was the because I felt very lonely because I couldn't talk. I could express myself, my opinions, when the group of friends, whatever, because most of the time if I go in a restaurant or have a group of friends, that if they speak Portuguese, they have this, like to keep us, I mean, when I say something, I have to tell somebody to translate in English and have a feedback for the other people in English and then translate it for Portuguese. This is like awkward moments.
Yeah.
I think the loneliness that I felt in the moment was very, very hard. Yeah.
Because that that affects everything. Uh-huh, because yeah. When we talk about language and communication mm-hmm. challenges,
yeah,
that affects from buying groceries at the grocery store yeah. to whatever religious practices you might have
mm-hmm.
or any place that you go for fun, whether that's a pickup game at basketball.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was very, very hard. I mean, I couldn't do anything like this. I have to be just focusing on work, because if I decide to go in this place, maybe something happened or that I would be able to understand, or maybe get in trouble or something, yeah. like that, you know? So I try to avoid this kind of social things.
You go out and get drinks or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly, yeah. So the first thing I did was got a job in buy a car, so you're gonna be independent. Like, I do my things and I don't need to ask anybody to do it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my mm-hmm. first job was with people who speak Portuguese. So my first job was cleaning dealerships. So I was by myself, anybody to talk to. So it was easy. Just do my job and just go on.
Yeah. And what did your work environment look like a little bit more when it comes to, because you said that your original job was more yeah. in solitude. Well, what does your work environment look like now?
Today, I mean, I'm studying today. I don't have any job for now. But for sure, like the environment, if I got a job, I mean, any job that I had here in the United States is very, so much better. The environment, like everything is clean, it's not that a lot of disgusting things. I mean, when you're clean, yeah, but, you know, but I think I enjoy more working here than in Brazil for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, the environment is very different.
Mm-hmm.
I can be more specific, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, yeah, in Brazil, because Brazil, I have my own business when I was 20, 24, 25 years old. I got my own business with stamps, doing stamps. So, yeah, and then I have to sell everything to come to America, because even though I had a business there, I couldn't have a lot of things for me, like a good car and a house, or even I never thought about building a family and having kids, because it was very difficult. And here I could, like, even is not the best jobs that I had, I couldn't afford for a family.
Mm-hmm.
I could see me in 5 years have a family, have a kid, and help, because it's good.
And how did you meet your wife?
Well, we met by Tinder.
Okay.
The app at Tinder.
It does work.
Yeah. I don't know if you still have it, but I don't know. Anyway, it was a Tinder. I have like two dates before her, so it was bad experiences because all my fault basically. Because I didn't know how to express very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was almost, I was giving up the idea of dating
mm-hmm.
at the time. And then my friend came to me and said, "Hey, do you know Tinder?" I said, "Yeah, sure. What do you know about it? What do you want to know about it?" And he asked, "No, I just want to see how this works." And then, "Okay, let me teach you." And I took my phone and passed some, like, see some girls and see my, I saw my wife and say, "Oh, I like this girl," whatever. And then I invite her to the, to go to a date. And since then, we got married and have kids and move on. Yeah.
Nice.
Has been 9 years old already.
Wow, nice. And how old are your twins?
My twins is 4 years old now.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And were they born here or in Brazil?
Yeah, they born in Utah.
Okay.
In Utah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So what does living in Tulsa look like, or the U.S. for that matter? What does living in Tulsa mean to you, and what does that look like?
We just came. We just moved to Utah from Tulsa because of the marketing, like the house, the price of the house there is very expensive in Utah now. So basically, I can in general was because of the cost in living. Basically, I think a lot of people are doing this now, realize how expensive it to live in Utah. So they are moving. So on a house in Utah, you can buy two or three in here in Tulsa for the price of one in Utah. So yeah, I think the big point of that was the price, the cost of living. I
Cost of
think was that,
living,
yeah. And also the second one, if I put it, I think it's the health in it, because my kid, he born with lung disease. So yeah, so in Utah it's like a valley, so all the a lot of the pollution is still in the middle because we have a lot of winds coming through on the valley. So for my kid, it's gonna be very, very hard for him to breathe when he get out inside the house or something like that. We don't know for sure, but I think I'm gonna be the second reason that I moved.
Cleaner air.
Yeah, cleaner.
So you took precautions to protect your child.
Yeah, basically.
And do they both have that lung disease?
No, just one.
What is it?
He born the diaphragm didn't grow very well when he was in my wife's belly. So all the bottom part of his body, like the stomach, all the things going up. So his lungs was very, very tiny. So he couldn't breathe. He actually, when we know about that we're gonna have a twins, so the and then we in the moment we already know after like 2 weeks, no, recently, I think 1 month maybe, they saw it in the ultrasound that he wouldn't be able to complete all the diaphragm. So we went in the clinic, and the doctor says, "Oh, you have to decide between one another. You have to kill the one that have a small chance to survive, to make another one make it until the end." Yeah. So my wife was very like shocked. Like, now you guys have any another like opinion about it? Said, so, no, we don't have a lot of data because it's not normal for us to have a kind of stuff. So we went to the university, the Utah University, and I have a doctors there. And they said, no, we have a data, so you're gonna keep, you don't worry about it. If something happens, it's gonna happen, but like, let's go try at least. We don't need to do anything now. He's eating, he's growing, so just keeping the way it'll be. And then when it was the time to, not the time, but maybe 1 month before they born, the dog says, "Oh, so far we have a maybe 25% of he's gonna survive because he gonna have to get a bird. I mean, he wanna born, and then you have to take him away from you guys and put him in the machine to help him to breathe. We don't need any. You guys wouldn't be able to even touch him. You're gonna just go ahead for the machine." So he spent 90 days in the NICU recovering, and he also was in the middle of the COVID. We don't have any support in the moment, the family, friends, or whatever, because anybody could be around us. We couldn't like have a chance to get sick, because so it was a hard moment. But I probably, if this happened in Brazil, I would be like father of just one kid for sure. Well, yeah, I was lucky to be here in America.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't have anyone around your baby because it was COVID.
COVID, yeah. We, I have a my wife's family. Actually, most of them was friends actually, and then they could like visit us or even give a food or whatever because like we, I mean they. We could get some food from others, but like was maybe too risky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't know, we let's do it by ourselves. And so, yeah, it was very hard.
Yeah, I'm yeah. sure.
We didn't have any support at the moment. It's just me and my wife and yeah, taking turns to go to the doctor because even we could visit him, would have to be one each time. I mean, what it means? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So, when we talk about you moving, because how many years has it been since you've lived here? Did you say?
I'm 21, so
okay.
I had 40 years.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So when we talk about your culture in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
what cultural and traditions have you maintained here? Have you brought any or much?
No, actually
no?
nothing. Because the most ones that we have culture is about like seasons. Like we have a carnival. We don't have a, I mean we have a carnival here, but it's like
much different.
Yeah, it's very different. And also have a Festa Juninas is a tradition party that we have between June and July, I think. Yeah, June until the end of, the middle of July. They call Festa Junina. I'm going to spell it for you if you want to put in your note. It's F-E-S-T-A space J-U-N-I-N-A-S. Festa Juninas. So the basically Festa Juninas is like it's like more Catholic thing. So they do a lot of dishes with corn. So basically we eat a lot of corn in this period of the time. Yeah. So basically the two of them. We don't have a Thanksgiving there and we have just Christmas. That's all. Yeah. So for me, bring to here, even the taste of the corn here is different.
Yes.
Yeah, it's sweet, and Brazil is a little bit salty. So, yeah.
Yeah. And what opportunities have you found in America, or what do you look forward to that before in Brazil were not available to you?
Well, I think the most of the time is study. I don't think I did. I mean, if I have to choose between, because my family was a poor family, so I have to choose between study or work. But most of the time I have to choose work instead of the study. So I started working when I was 14. Usually I was with my dad, that my dad was a taxist at the time. So he was a taxist and then the grocery store taxist. So people buy the groceries and put in a car and he drive people mm-hmm. to their house. So when they put all the groceries in the cart, so I used to help people with the heavy carts to go to my dad's car and put all the bags inside. So they give me quarters. Like, so this was my first job. Doing this, the whole maybe when I mean in the Saturdays when I'm not having school and after school too, I take like 3-4 hours doing this after school. Yeah.
So what goals and dreams do you have for the future here in your new country?
Well, I really need a career. I need a career. So now I'm trying to get the X-ray stack, to be our X-ray stack, or maybe if I don't get it and this course, like the major, probably will go try another thing like cybersecurity or something like that. Depends on how the my scores and the TOEFL test.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. This is my goal. I have a career in United States. Something special, but some important thing to do in life. Yeah.
And what advice would you have for ESL students, either coming in from a new country or let's say they've been here a little while and they're joining the class? What advice would you have for ESL students?
I think I encourage them to keep coming. Keep coming to, don't be scared to be in a place that gonna challenge them. I think it's a word, challenge, because a lot of people are scared about like, it's gonna be too hard for me, maybe, you know what I mean? So yeah. People is scared. So I encourage them to come and see that's not terrifying. And yeah, and they keep have a plans and try to get the absorb all the knowledge that the teachers try to teach us. Yeah, I think it's gonna. Yeah, don't give up in the middle. Just keep going. Just keep pushing themselves until the end.
Perseverance.
Yeah, perseverance. Yeah.
That's good. And what would you say the meaning of home is? What would you say the meaning of home is to you?
Home for me is where our families are, where our heart are. Doesn't matter which country, doesn't matter, but the people who you love and stay with you, I think this for me is home. Can be in under the bridge or under the that way, but if we are together, if we are with my family, I think I'm home. This is home for me. My family's home.
Yeah. And lastly, do you have any closing thoughts or anything else that you would like to share about anything or your home country?
I think because my country is a beautiful country and they have a lot of potential. But unfortunately, I think the people who live in my country make the country horrible. I know there are bad people in the United States, bad people in everywhere. But when we are still thinking about ourselves, Brazil, they think a lot about themselves. Like how to get their money, how to, even the government, they just think about themselves and don't think a lot about the people and poor people. So I think it's the biggest difference here is like America, I think they think think about the other ones, but they have a big price for this. Like it's very expensive. The health cares or all the kind of stuff, but they still have they still help me more than the government in Brazil. But my thoughts is like I think we should be more united and think about the other all the people than ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time, participation, and cooperation in this interview. And have a fantastic day, Junior.
Thank you. I hope that I was helpful. If you have any questions,